From the start of our gospel reading this morning, we have these words. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Not the most uplifting starts there, you might say. Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple, a real event that will take place some 40 years after Jesus has made these pronouncements. He is talking to people who are, quite understandably, overawed by the majesty and beauty of the temple. Given what we know about the immense size and beauty of the temple, it is hardly any wonder that people were overwhelmed by it. And there is nothing wrong with that. The temple, like our cathedrals, like this ancient church, are built to point to God's glory and to draw us to praise and worship our God, pointing to what is much greater than we are, so much greater than our lives. We use these buildings, and they give us confidence because they seem unshakable. But Jesus makes a different point about hallowed stones and places of worship. Jesus draws attention to the fallibility of all these things, the things that are built by human hands. Jesus is warning against people who think the structures are the divine, are God, and are worshipped, as opposed to really what they are, as a pointer to the divine, a pointer to God. Jesus was responding to the awe in which the disciples held the temple building itself. But in so doing, what they failed to realize and understand is that it is Jesus himself, the living temple sent by God, who is the embodiment of God's love in the world, and not the temple of stone, no matter how beautiful and overwhelming and awe-inspiring it was. Worshippers across the Church of England today are observing Safeguarding Sunday. On Safeguarding Sunday, we gather to celebrate the things we are faithfully doing to make our church a safer place. We gather to reflect on what we can and what must be done by us as individuals, by us as a congregation, and by us as a church community, to make the environment in which we gather one that is welcoming and safe and open to all people. And here at St. Martin's, I want us to gather and recognise, or at least allow us to start to be aware of, how central to our faith, to our being church, to us, safeguarding is. Being Christ-centered in our approach means ensuring that we take care of everyone, consider others, protect the weak, protect the vulnerable, and have a heart for the well-being of all. Our ancient, awesome, beautiful church buildings may provide safety, but only to an extent. From the elements, say, from the wind and the rain. But it is us, all of us, the people inside, who are to provide emotional and physical safety to one another. The stones, no matter how beautiful they are, can't do that. It is you and I who are to look after each other. We often think that safeguarding is about looking after the vulnerable, and it is. But who are the vulnerable? It doesn't matter how big or small we are, or what age we are. There are times in life when we are, to a greater or lesser degree, vulnerable. I know I have been in various times of my adult life. And look at how big and loud I am. Being vulnerable is not necessarily a permanent state. For some, it is. For others, me, a season. A past season in my case. But when we are there, it is people who can listen, respond, report even, help us to shield us and protect us. Safeguarding is by people, for people. And stones, even if they're 900 years old, can't do that. Sometimes people think about safeguarding. Why do I need to be involved with that? Or it is just PC gone mad. But being a community where we all carry a responsibility for one another is what makes us church. Not a church with a small c, the building, or church as the institution, but church with a capital C. And we are all its members. Safeguarding Sunday allows us a time to reflect on what we are doing to provide a safe environment for all people to come together in praise and worship of our loving God, and to come into His presence with our fellow sisters and brothers in Christ. Safeguarding Sunday allows us to reflect on what has happened in the past, to the implementation of new recommendations, to allow ourselves to engage in safeguarding training offered by the parish and the diocese, to raise awareness and prayer, to listen and to report where needed, to support Jill and Yvonne, our safeguarding officers, and support the policies of the BCC as we all share in the responsibility of keeping one another safe. I want to conclude with a prayer from Thomas Ken, the previous Bishop of Bath and Wells, from 1685 to 1691. This prayer so eloquently puts into place in just a few lines all that I have been trying to say this morning about church buildings versus safe church building. Us, the people. Thomas Ken writes in his prayer, "May the doors of this church be wide enough to receive all who come seeking God and fellowship. May the doors of this church be narrow enough to shut out pettiness and pride, envy and enmity. May the threshold of this church be no stumbling block to young or frail feet. May the threshold of this church be too high to admit complacency and self-seeking. May this church be, for all who enter, a safe place and the doorway to a richer life in life."